You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's episode, we're going to try something a little bit different. Being that it is the season of Christmas, we're going to look at two different gospel texts about the message of Christmas. First, we will look at St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Then, we will look at St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now we listen to the words of the Gospel according to St. Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory from the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." This is the Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, there are two basic perspectives on the state of humanity. On the one hand, there is the heavenly view, which sees humanity as inherently bad. On the other hand, there is the earthly view, which sees humanity as inherently good. Now, with these two views in mind, let us take a look at the Christmas message. What makes it good news? The evangelist Luke writes, "And the angel said to them, 'I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Now we have gathered in order to hear this good news of great joy. Now generally, people like to hear good news instead of bad news. Normally, folks like to listen to things that bring them great joy instead of great sorrow. For this reason, human interest stories are popular in the news. You know, the kind of story that presents the problems people face and the heroes that help them. Such news stories tug on the emotions, bringing sympathy and motivation. Now, the goal of human interest pieces is to inspire people to do good things. In this way, it is good news, insofar as it has the potential to bring great joy. For where there is great amusement, there is great joy. In fact, there is even a website dedicated to such good news. It is the Feel Good News site. That's right. The site brings you news to make you feel good. They are attempting to bring hope and laughter in order to make the world a better place, one smile at a time. Thus, great joy is a feeling of being tickled pink, and good news is news that makes you feel good about yourself. Now, our culture has been duped into thinking that good news is news that makes us feel good about ourselves. Our society has cultivated a way of thinking in which humanity is viewed as inherently good. This is the earthly view of the state of human nature. Thus, we are encouraged to experience this concept of good when we feel good about ourselves. The pervading contemporary philosophy has even made its way into the Christian churches, who have transformed Christmas Eve services into entertainment extravaganzas. On those stages, Christ, the light of the world, is eclipsed by the laser lights and stage lights. You might even catch one of these shows highlighted on a local news human interest story. Again, where there is great amusement, there must be great joy. Where there is great joy, there must be good news. At least, that's what people say. Now let's hear what the angel says again. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Now take note that the announcement of good news of great joy is preempted by a disclaimer. Fear not. Well, what is there to fear? Well, at this point, we are reminded about the two different vantage points. The earthly point of view, seeing humanity as inherently good, while there's the heavenly point of view, which sees humanity as inherently bad. Thus, when the shepherds beheld the angelic being with the glory from the Lord, they were filled with great fear. Why was there great fear? Again, the heavenly view sees humanity as inherently bad. Therefore, the shepherds were filled with great fear due to the expectation of bad news. For God alone is inherently good. Good things are natural to the divine nature alone. People, on the other hand, are inherently bad. Bad things are natural to the human nature. Sin brings darkness. Darkness dominates in the absence of God's light. And without God's light, there is no life. There is only great darkness and doom. Without God, there is no hope. Bad news brings the announcement of death. This is bad news of great sorrow. Thus, to properly understand the message of Christmas, both the earthly view and the heavenly view must be brought into perspective. The heavenly view of humanity is a message of bad news, causing you to feel bad about yourself. It brings great sorrow when you recognize your own sin and your own darkness. Again, there are two basic views on humanity. The heavenly view sees humanity as inherently bad, while the earthly view sees humanity as inherently good. So, How then is the Christmas message good news of great joy? Well, first of all, feeling good about yourself will not make you good. God alone is good. Likewise, you cannot determine that you are not bad just because you don't feel bad. The state of humanity is a matter of truth and not feelings. Just because we are looking up to heaven from earth doesn't mean that we can disregard the vantage point of God looking down from heaven to earth. So again, how is the Christmas message good news of great joy? It's in this way that the Son of God comes down from heaven. He plunges into the darkness of our sin in order to bring us into His light. He is born of the Virgin Mary upon earth in order to die in our place upon the cross. In the mystery of the Incarnation, in which God becomes man, heaven and earth converge. The divine nature that is alone inherently good is united to the human nature, making it good in the Christ child alone. Whereas there were two basic views of humanity apart from the Christmas message, now a new view is established. A new perspective is given. In Christ alone, humanity is seen as good. Good news replaces bad news. Great joy overtakes great fear. The great light is seen in the midst of great darkness. The Creator and fallen creation are reconciled in Christ. Peace is bestowed upon earth in Christ. This is the message of Christmas. It is not a human interest story orchestrated just to bring about the emotions of feeling good about ourselves or motivating us to try better. Instead, it is a message that brings to us good news of great joy. It teaches what God has done in order to view us as good by making us a new creation through the birth of Christ. His light confronts our darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome Him. His righteousness confronts our wickedness, and wickedness cannot overthrow Him. His life confronts our death, and death cannot contain Him. The life of this child means life for us. Therefore, the Christmas message is one of good news and great joy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This child is Emmanuel, that is, God with us. The Christmas message is one of good news and great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This child is Jesus, that is, Yahweh's salvation. He will save his people from their sins. He is our Savior, and that is good news of great joy. Now we shift our attention to St. John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, that is, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Now, when we look at this text, we want to make a contrast between the way cultural Christianity views it and genuine Christianity. Now, on the one hand, cultural Christianity has been watered down so that they view this day merely as a time of reindeer and snowmen. More recently, this has become a time in which the Force is awakened and spirituality converges with Star Wars. People are encouraged to embrace the so-called Christmas spirit, in which we are motivated to be nice and not to turn to the dark side. Now, we gather around this Word of God as the result of genuine Christianity. We view this day from a completely different vantage point than our contemporaries. This is the day of angels and the God-man. This is a day of the Christmas flesh. Christ came in the flesh. He has come to restore our corrupted flesh. By nature, our flesh is naughty and not nice. We were born in darkness. Now, at its core, cultural Christianity is spawned from the ancient false teaching about Christ called Gnosticism. This new heretical teaching arose during the days of the last apostle, John. Now, the Gnostic teachers falsely taught that the Creator was evil, and Jesus came to liberate us from his evil creation. Namely, to release us from the prison of our bodies so that we could roam as free spirits. In this Gnostic view, Jesus could not be a true human being. Instead, he only appeared to be a man. And of course, they falsely taught that Jesus did not die on the cross. Thus, we are left with merely the Christmas spirit to celebrate. In contradistinction stands genuine Christianity, founded on the teachings of the apostles. The apostle John was directly addressing such notions of the so-called Christmas spirit in his letters and gospel text. In his first letter, he writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." In his second letter, he writes, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." And of course, in our gospel text, the Apostle John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. On this day, Christmas Day, genuine Christianity celebrates the Christmas flesh. Today we rejoice in the Holy Incarnation, when the eternal God became enfleshed to tabernacle among us. Today we celebrate Jesus. For without the Incarnation, there could be no crucifixion and there would be no resurrection. Without his birth, there would be no death to atone for our sins, and there would be no life with God forever. His flesh gives life to the world. His blood sanctifies us from all our iniquities. Now, cultural Christianity follows in the footsteps of Gnosticism. The Gnostic worldview cannot believe that Jesus was really born of the Virgin, or that Jesus really died on the cross for your sins and salvation, or that Jesus really rose from the dead in the flesh, or that Jesus could give to us his own body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, or that God could become a man, or that Jesus could really be God, let alone the creator of all things. Now, genuine Christianity stands steadfast on the apostolic foundation. The Apostle John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." You see, Jesus is the Word, the eternally begotten Word who was in the beginning, who is the beginning, the source of all things. It is in Jesus alone that we see the true God. He is God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made. But for us sinners, and for our salvation, he was made man. Whereas the Gnostics falsely taught that Jesus was not the Creator God, genuine Christianity confesses that by him all things were made, and in him we are being recreated into the image of the Son of God. For in Jesus we see the true man. This Christ is born in the flesh so that we could be reborn in the Spirit. This Christ dies that we might live. Thus, the only begotten Son of God becomes man so that we might become adopted sons of God, that is, heirs of the kingdom. What he is by nature, we become by grace. For in Jesus, the Father sees us as his dear children without sin. On Christmas Day, we celebrate the Christmas flesh, and we renounce our sinful flesh. We look to Christ, the Creator, as the one who comes to recreate us and remove our sin from us. The Apostle John writes, "To all who did receive him, that is, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Through the gospel, the power of God for salvation, we too are begotten from above. This is not our own doing, as today's text clearly teaches. It is not by our physical birth, because we are born in sin. It is not by our decision or an act of the will, because our sinful flesh would choose darkness rather than God. Instead, this is by God in his word that we are made children of God. The gospel comes to us and gives us light and life, pointing us to Jesus and not our own efforts. God's word creates faith in us to believe his promises. And God promises us in Galatians chapter 3, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. God gives to us a miraculous rebirth, not with dirt or a rib, but rather with water. And he recreates us with his word. For in Christ we are a new creation. So on Christmas Day, we celebrate the Christmas flesh. After all, that is why it is called Christmas. That is, Christ's Mass. The Mass, the divine liturgy of Christ, in which we receive the gift of the sacrament of the altar. In the Lord's Supper, we receive the Christmas flesh. He comes to us in the flesh, giving to us his very body to eat and his very blood to drink. The Christmas flesh is nourishing us in both body and soul. It is by the power of the word of Christ that life is bestowed, just as it was in the beginning. Without the word, there was no life. Without the word, there was no light. Without the word, there is no body. And without the word, there is no blood. But when we hear the word, this is the life-giving word, the word that bestows upon us life, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, we gather to celebrate the Christmas flesh. We do not need to engage in the ambiguous concept of the Christmas spirit, in which we are encouraged or motivated or inspired to be nice, and by our own willpower resist the temptation of the dark side. Instead, we embrace the Christmas flesh when we denounce our own corrupted flesh. We acknowledge that our flesh is naughty and not nice, and we are born in great deep darkness. But it is only in Christ that there is light, life, and salvation. He is the one who comes to plunge into the depths of our darkness in order to take us into his light. He comes and plunges himself into the depths of our death in order to take us to his life. Just as he was in the beginning creating life, he continues to be here now with us, creating new life in us as we hear his word, as we receive his gifts, as we partake of his flesh, the Christmas flesh, the flesh that has been given for us. Now, hopefully, by listening to this discussion on these two gospel texts, you have been brought into the knowledge of salvation, and you have grown in that knowledge. As you set your eyes upon Jesus and who he is and what he does for you, and what he continues to do for you. You see, basically, you are the reason for the season. He came to save you. He came to deliver you and to give you life, life eternal and peace, not like the world gives, but peace with God, peace that lasts from now and into eternity. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus, in both body and soul.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.